This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, back at it for Monday. Thanks for being here. Karma Mornarich, Executive Director of the Cow Creek Umpqua Indian Foundation. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
We like to check in with you periodically, see what's going on with the foundation. First of all, give people, let's just presume somebody is newer to the area and doesn't know what the Cow Creek Umpqua Indian Foundation is. Tell them about it.
Well, the Cow Creek Umpqua Indian Foundation is one of the giving arms of the Cow Creek Umpqua Tribe. So there's actually three ways that the Cow Creek Tribe gives back to the communities, and one is through the Cow Creek Foundation. The tribal board also gives away donations locally and throughout Southwest Oregon. And then there's another group of funding dollars called CEDR, which is Community Economic Development and Recovery. And those are unsolicited dollars that the tribe will award to certain economic development opportunities throughout the region. But the Cow Creek Foundation was really founded when the tribe opened the casino down in Canyonville. And so every tribe in Oregon has a compact, and Cow Creek was the first one to sign the compact with the state of Oregon on having Nevada-style gaming and then giving a certain percentage of the net proceeds back to the community.
And what year did all that begin?
That all started in about 1997, and then the Foundation for Cow Creek started giving and awarding grants in 1998.
And so since then, how much money has gone out from the foundation?
Well, we have given just shy of $19 million, so it's $18,900,000+.
So when you are giving this money out, and we're going to talk about as well later about some of the funds that were announced as going out last week, for nonprofit organizations, what's the process for applying and being considered?
Sure. So there's a fairly simple process. Folks, we like them to call, and we can learn a little bit more about their organization and maybe what they're looking for funding for. Streamlines the process for both the organization as well as for us, because we get to know each other over the phone. And then folks can go onto our website, which is cowcreekfoundation.org. And we have a bunch of frequently asked questions and basic information on there. And then all of our application is done online. And so folks register for an account, and then they go in and fill out it's a two-step process. We have a letter of interest first, and then once that's approved, then they fill out the application. And then the application has a deadline. We have deadlines twice a year, March 1st and September 1st. And then the applications are gathered up and looked at. We get about probably close to 100 applications during each grant cycle. So it becomes a little bit of an extensive process for us.
So the funds were announced last Tuesday, which means that something like about a 3.5 to 4 month process in going through, once your deadline hits, going through all these applications and figuring out what to do.
That's correct. So I have a group of about two or three ladies that help me, and they live primarily in Jackson County. And we divide up the applications by region, and we read through every application and go through their budgets and look at who they're collaborating with in the community and see what their fundraising efforts have been, what their fundraising possibilities could be. And there's a lot of times, sometimes we'll go visit the organization, sometimes we'll just take care of any questions we have through a phone call or through email. It just depends on, you know, if the organization is brand new, we usually have a policy where we do go visit with them and do a site visit. And so it does take a little bit of a process. What we like to do is we like to really know who we're giving the money to. We like to be partners with them. We like to feel like they know that we're interested in what they're doing. And we don't want to just be one of those foundations that gives the check out and says, good job.
So you really kind of are developing what in many cases turns out to be a long-term relationship with some of these groups.
Absolutely. There are a number of organizations that we have been helping with their funding for probably close to 15 years, maybe some, even some for 20 years, just depending on, you know, the cyclical process of applying for grants. But there's a lot of organizations that we've had a very long-term relationship with.
And do these vary in terms of the size, number of staff or volunteers or that kind of thing?
Absolutely. So we have organizations that get funding from us that have multi-million dollar budgets, like somebody like UCAN or the food bank down in Jackson County, Access, and a couple of organizations up in Eugene, Pearl Buck Center, and some of those. They have very large budgets. And then we have organizations that have less than a $50,000 budget, you know, maybe a food bank like the Sutherland Oakland Food Pantry or St. Joe's Community Kitchen. Those organizations have a much smaller budget, and some of them don't even have a paid staff. And so it's a volunteer that's the one that's filling out the grant application, and it's volunteers that are serving the clients that are coming through the doors. And so we have a wide scope of organizations that we support.
So for some of these smaller ones then that have very small budgets, the funds that you're giving to them make a huge dent in maybe what they're doing for the entire year.
Absolutely. So, you know, when we look at organizations, we look at their ability to raise funds. And an organization in Glendale, Oregon has a much harder time raising funds than an organization in Roseburg or Medford or Eugene, where there's a larger population of people and maybe more businesses available where you could seek funding. So our board does take that into consideration when an organization comes to us. And we don't like to be the sole the sole funding source for an organization or for a project. We like them to try to raise some funds locally or maybe have other fundraising opportunities or ask for grants from somebody else in addition to what they're asking for us. We like to be a partner in it and not just, like Sue Schaefer, our former tribal chairman, said, we like to give organizations a hand up, not a hand out.
And so sometimes does part of what the process involves also include talking with them and saying, well, you know, we're going to look at helping you with this, but, you know, here's some other things you ought to think about, or maybe even other ideas where potential funding could come from?
Absolutely. We are always offering other solutions, because simple fact is nonprofits rarely have enough money to do what they need to do. And so they're always looking for other avenues to create revenue. And so whether that is us suggesting other foundation possibilities that maybe they're unfamiliar with or they don't know about. And sometimes we'll look at an organization and say, wow, you know, you should increase the number of folks on your board and maybe be able to ask them to be worker bees and help you raise some funds and get some other volunteers in here. And then the three people that work here wouldn't be having to work so hard if you expanded to six people, and the workload would get cut down maybe a little bit.
So a lot of people look at the Cow Creek Tribe as being centered here in Douglas County. And sometimes the question comes up when you are giving these awards, why it's spread into such a wide area of the region.
Sure. So, you know, we have to remember historically the Cow Creek Tribe, we were hunter and gatherers. And so we followed the seasons and we followed the animals and we went where there was food and shelter. And so we moved around a lot. And we have a 7-county region that we focus on with our foundation grants. And that's the region where traditionally, before there were county lines, that's the area where the tribe wandered to.
Going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Carmen Mornerich from the Cow Creek Umpqua Indian Foundation. Interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. It's 1245. News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1246. Lars Larson Show coming at 1. Later, KQEN Local Talk at 4. Talking Health with Lisa Platt will be live from the Mercy Foundation this afternoon. And we've got Carmen Warnerich here today, the executive director of the Cow Creek Umpqua Indian Foundation. How long have you had that role?
Well, I was thinking about that this morning. I've been working with the Cow Creek Foundation since 2001, so going on 19 years. First, I was a board member for 5 or 6 years, and then in 2007, Sue Schaefer asked me if I wanted to be the director of the foundation, and so I've been in that position ever since.
So how much money was given out in this latest round last Tuesday?
So we gave away $474,650.
And how many different organizations were a part of that?
There were 70 organizations that received that funding.
And as you mentioned a moment ago, the widespread throughout parts of southwestern Oregon and in several different counties. What about in Douglas County? Talk about some of the bigger awards for organizations here and what those monies are going to go for.
Sure. So in Douglas County, we are very lucky to have a large group of nonprofits that are serving our community, doing really great things. And we talked about site visits. I went out this time and got to visit a couple of these. First one I got to visit was Casa de Belen, and their director, Kivana, is just doing an excellent job with their youth that they're serving there. And we were able to give them $7,500 just to support their programming, which is basically providing occupancy and support services for homeless teens and helping those kids find their path. Because a lot of those kids that come through those doors maybe have, they've been disowned by their families, or maybe they just need a break from their families, or for whatever reason, they've landed at Casa de Belen. And I really believe that's a really great family atmosphere to help kids find a good path.
And I know that you guys have put a bigger emphasis on sort of these immediate needs, and certainly housing, a place to stay would be part of that.
Absolutely. And there's, you know, a couch doesn't count. Kivana said this at our awards, and I agree with her 100%. And a couch does not count as a house, as a home. And so when you have so many teenagers couch surfing from friend to friend or aunt to uncle to wherever, you know, that's not a real house, and it doesn't provide real stability. And so Casa de Belen really is able to provide that for some kids.
What about some of the other groups in Douglas County?
Sure. So one of the really neat programs that we have going on in Douglas County right now is a Dolly Parton Imagination Library. And it was started, the first time I heard of it in Douglas County was down in South County, and the Riddle City Library is the main person or the main organization there. But they partner with Canyonville, Winston, Glendale, Myrtle Creek, and all the South County libraries as part of it. And basically it provides... The program mails out a free book to children age 0 to 5 every month in South County if you sign up. And so if you live in South Douglas County, or if you live in Roseburg or Glide, because the Friends of the Roseburg Public Library is also starting that program. So any of those communities, if you live there and you have a child between 0 and 5, sign up for the Dolly Parton Imagination Library program, and your child gets one free book every month.
You know, Chris Weiler from the Roseburg Library was telling me about that several months ago, and I had not heard of it, and it was kind of intriguing because, you know, for someone who has had so many years of success in music and just deciding to take a part of that and do something and have literally a national impact.
It really is. And actually, it's international as well. If you look on their website, it's really the Dolly Parton Imagination Library. If you Google it and pull up their website, wow, it's research-based and the books are popular and really have great values. And it's just, they're excellent books and excellent choices. And they have all kinds of professionals chiming in on which books should be included. And it's a great program.
What about other groups in Douglas County?
So we have a few out in the far reaches. Elkton Community Education Center to provide money for student wages and a native plant shade house so they can increase their job training for their students. So they grow milkweed and a number of other native plants, and they sell some of those to government organizations like the Forest Service or the BLM, and they have contracts for that, and they run out of room for other native plants that they sell out of their nursery to folks like you and me that want to go buy them. So they needed a bigger shade house. And then they also have a great partnership with Elkton High School, wherein those kids that are hired by Elkton Community Education Center get excellent job training. And there's the young gal that is going to be the beneficiary of these wages actually came to our event on last Tuesday and talked a little bit about what she was going to get to do and the benefits. And, you know, in Elkton, there's not a lot of employers available. And so having job training that's hands-on and real is really important to some of these kids.
I noticed one of the other of the larger grants went to a group in Winston. Talk about that.
Right. So it's the Winston Area Community Partnership, but their main focus right now is the Teen Center, and they have excellent programs every day after school for the kids in Winston. And we gave them $7,500 just to support their programming there, and it includes cooking classes and art classes and STEM programming and financial literacy. And it's just what they have going on in Winston is really excellent, and it's a great opportunity for those kids to have such a wonderful place to be able to go after school.
So mention one more of the Douglas County grants.
So another one is Parents and Teachers Together. It's the basically parent organization for Glendale Elementary School. And I went down to visit them as well. They have a new principal down there. And I got a tour of their really excellent, beautiful school. And right in the center courtyard of their school is a greenhouse and a really beautiful courtyard. But the greenhouse is very old, and the maintenance staff has tried to replace the panels, and so they were seeking funding to try to rebuild or buy a new greenhouse. And so we gave them $5,000 to purchase a new greenhouse to serve as the heart of their little courtyard there at Glendale Elementary. And they incorporate some of the food out of the greenhouse into their lunch program, as well as they have a great plant sale in the spring and use it as a fundraising opportunity for the parent organization down there at Glendale Elementary.
The last one for Douglas County, kind of a unique program that I, you know, when I looked at what they're going to do, it was pretty interesting, and also being out of the Reedsport area.
Absolutely. So NeighborWorks Umpqua is partnering with the Reedsport Charter School Manufacturing Apprentice Program, and we gave them $7,500 to purchase materials so Reedsport Charter School can build ramps, handicapped ramps, for low-income seniors living in mobile home parks. And so the high school class over there will build these ramps and go and install them, and NeighborWorks Umpqua will do a lot of the footwork with making the coordination with the senior in the mobile home park and just working together as a group to try to get some of these seniors better livability and ability to stay in their home by having ramps available for them to easily move in and out of their homes.
And interesting as well, because I would imagine, though, you pretty much just said everything that I know about that program right there, but just to have the opportunity for people of that age interacting with seniors and helping them in a way like that seems like it would have a lot of other positives that are just going to happen by osmosis.
Absolutely. It's that whole community service aspect for high school kids and the interaction with the seniors and the high school kids and, you know, the business aspect of understanding how you treat someone when you go into their home to do work, and just the whole picture of that project really was great. And it, you know, I applaud NeighborWorks Umpqua for thinking outside the box and bringing in a community partner like Reedsport Charter School, because it's really probably much easier just to go ahead and hire a contractor to have a lot of that done. But bringing in Reedsport Charter School and giving those students an opportunity to be able to learn and give back to their community is just really heartwarming to me.
most times that you do this, you give out an award or two kind of separately to the regular grants. Talk about those.
Sure. So we give out the Buster Rondo and Martha Young Awards. So Martha Young was our founding executive director, and she passed away from cancer. And so periodically, we find an organization that we think she would like. And this time, we picked actually both awards are from Lane County. But the one for that we recognized on behalf of Martha was an organization called Well Mama. And they're an organization that helps women with postpartum issues, whether it's depression or maybe it's breastfeeding or learning how to bond with your child or whatever it is. They are an organization that is in the trenches and helping these women, you know, kind of work through and become better mothers. And so they're starting a new program. In the past, we've had this service called the Warm Line. And the Warm Line is a place where you can call and get assistance and talk through, you know, any issues that you're having. But Well Mama wants to initiate a texting system where young mothers can text and ask questions and then get immediate response via text message. And it was really innovative and really able to serve a population, frankly, now that's more comfortable texting rather than talking on a telephone.
And real quick, mention the other one.
Sure. So the other one is Food for Lane County. We recognized on behalf of Buster Rondo. And we loved this because it was, again, back to that philosophy of giving a hand up, not a handout. And it's a warehouse training program where they take folks and offer job opportunities in warehouse, learning how to drive a forklift and some of those things for warehouses, wherein those folks learn those skills and are able to get a family wage job, where rather than continue to come to the food bank and get food boxes.
All right, there's an update on the Cow Creek Umpqua Indian Foundation, some of the grants and funds being dispersed recently. Carmen Mortimer, Executive Director, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
1259 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.